For all the new people, it's always, me and mom and my dad's in heaven now. We were kind of raised, you know, not saying much about finances, giving money. We always thought that people would turn away and think that God's just after your money or the preacher or the church. And so years ago, I told the Lord when we started this church that I would not take a salary. And what it's done is it's enabled us to then teach about finances for just a short time, because my phone rings more about financial issues than anything. I mean, for example, the Methodist Church just had a fire, and we're going to bless them. It's a tough time in their life. We've had people in our church that just have needs. So we give a lot of benevolence to people that are in need, especially in this church. We're building, you know, and the one thing that I don't like is taking up 16 different offerings for everything. And so on your offering envelope, you know, if you want to give to something, you just put it down, and that's where we'll make sure it goes. And obviously, we're believing to finish the kids' church, which you see, it's got a roof on it, and it's got windows, and just the inside. Now we need to knock that wall or a hall out and put where we'll go into that building, because it's just right out that the doors here, and bam, you'll start seeing eventually when Joe Eddie does it. You need to get on that, Joe Eddie, because I need to be able to get back into that little area back there. And then there's going to be 8 rooms, 4 bathrooms, and it's going to be fantastic for our kids, especially since this church is growing so much, for our kids to be able to go and get separated. The youth are having to go over here to this little building, the blue building, and some of the age groups, because of size, has to go to the arena and the announcer stand. But you know what? I want it to be right outside. And so as the Lord puts it on your heart, man, start giving to those things so we can get them finished. Amen. And that's the thing. And we want to be a blessing. The Bible says in Luke's gospel that when you give, it'll be given back to you. With a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll cause men to give unto you your bosom. I think that when you understand finances in the Bible, by the way, 2,036 times it talks about money in some way in that Bible. You know why I know that? For the new people that have never heard that before. In college, I had to have a job. I had to have a Pell Grant, a student loan, a music scholarship, a rodeo scholarship. I mean, I just did whatever. And one day I got on my knees, and our family was starting to figure this out, but I got on my knees and I said, God, here's all my friends that have a really nice truck and trailers for their horses. Just for whatever reason, we just, you know, why don't I have to have a job? You know, none of the rest of these kids are having much of a job. And I began to dig in this Bible, and God began to show me how to start entering in His principles of giving. Because listen to me, it's a freak out all my pastors, and I minister to lots of pastors, hundreds of them in the Cowboy Ministers Network. You do not by law have to give or tithe. Let me say that again. By law, you do not biblically have to tithe or give, because we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We don't live under the law. But if you want to get into that principle of sowing and then reaping, I suggest you learn how to tithe and give, because then you understand it's a seed. And when you plant that seed, whatever it might be, either a cotton seed or financially, or the seed of love, you ought to get it back. And so when people give to the kingdom of God, they give their obedience of offerings and tithes or whatever, it ought to be coming back. Well, then the Bible talks about giving into good ground. You don't want to give into bad ground, right? That doesn't produce anything. I mean, Jesus did a whole parable on ground. How there's rocky ground, there's some with thorns, and there, but then he gets to the good ground. And so when you find the good ground to give into, man, that's where the harvest then can come. There'll be some seed. This is Genesis 8:22. This is Galatians. Seed, then there's time, and then there's harvest. Amen. And so when you start understanding that, it'll change your giving. I mean, you'll start giving with purpose. You'll start giving because it's a seed to further the kingdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll be a seed to get out of debt. Come on. Because I know a lot of people in major, major debt. And I'm telling you, it is not fun to be in major debt. So when you get into that, those principles of honoring God, he'll bless you. Amen. So when you give with those attitudes, not the church is trying to get your money. No, actually God's trying to get it to you. Amen. And so in this bucket and in that bucket, I want y'all to come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bow down. I want to let y'all know, just as y'all are giving, we're going to be a part of something at Celebration Church in Round Rock, or hosting a one-day training called Forgiven and Set Free. The author, Linda Cochran, will train people how to use Scripture to share the hope of God's forgiveness and healing to hurting women and men after an abortion. And this is on Friday, June the 14th. And it's like 9 a.m. to 3:30. And where's Denise? Stand up, Denise. She's going to have more information right after the church. And I think that's an important thing, that there's a lot of hurting people. And in this one area of abortion, we need to know just how to deal with that, how we can give them some hope. How many of you know the devil... Man, he's bad about causing you to be guilty and condemned. And that's not our God. We don't serve a God of guilt and condemnation. We serve a God of love and forgiveness and redemption and freedom and all that good stuff. Amen? And so I want you to see her after church. If you, we just need to know kind of who would want to go to that again on the... what did I say, the 14th of June, and sign up for that and be a blessing. Amen. All right. With a big round of applause, let's dismiss all the kids' church out the back end and our youth group. If you're in the youth group, head on out. You'll love it. Love seeing everybody go and be like-minded and if you're a youth, about 18 and down, then always know, man, it's a blessing when you get to be around and help teach those youngins. And so, amen. How many brought your Bibles? Let's jump right into it. How many brought your Bibles? Let's raise up all the Bibles. Let me see your Bible. I want to see your word. Amen. Amen. I always want you to get used to bringing that word to church. It's your life manual. Amen. And I've never felt compelled to put it on the screen. I know a lot of churches do, but I always kind of like you to have it. Now, there's cowboy Bibles in the back. If you don't have one, we can get you one. But if you don't have one, then you're just going to have to trust that I'm reading from the Bible. And I promise you, I am. And trust me, if I miss a verse or two, someone's going to yell. I want to minister a message that I've never ministered on before in depth. I've probably spoken about serving and things like that, but I've really never ministered in this area. As you know, this church is about 15 years old. We had just turned over the Lubbock, Texas church at the barn to Pastor Ted and Jan Currington, and man, to see what God's still doing in that church that we started 25, 30 years ago. It was an amazing church. We started it in a sale barn on the south side of Lubbock. And I'll never forget the amazing thing that happened at Lubbock, because so many people got saved at Lubbock that they stuck us on the cult list of the FBI, because some bad folks were getting saved. And so they just thought we was a cult. How in the world is that guy, that person, going to church, you know? And so something's got to be up. And then the Lord released us to turn that church back over to, or not back, but to over to the pastors now. And it's a thriving church. A lot of people go to it. And God moved us to this area. And we started this church again 15 years ago. And it used to be just me and Jamie and the Vinsicks where we were meeting at. Just a few of you that were here. Betsy and, you know, our Morris, our guitar player that wasn't here today. But just there was just a few at the very beginning. And it used to be us that would get the chairs set, and I would set up sound, and we were doing it on a Monday night. And then about a year and a half later, God, I started seeing a few hundred people not going anywhere, because it wasn't meant to be another church. It was an outreach. I wanted to see you get born again and then plug into a church somewhere. And we noticed that God wasn't, you know, well, he just had different things in mind, I suppose, because those people wasn't going anywhere. Church was their Monday night. And so a year and a half later, we started Sunday service, and then we bought this property, and we put up a tent right back here. And I love the old tent days. I mean, we had some great time, some evangelistic time. Lots of people gave their lives to Jesus. And people would sit in the tent, and if it was good weather, they would sit all in the trees, and we couldn't hold the multitudes inside the tent. And then we started building this building. We do everything debt-free here. And so it took a couple years to get this place completely finished so we can have services in it. And we started growing. Well, how many of you know when you have a lot of people, you need a lot of people? And you need people serving in different areas. And you have your elders, and you have your deacons, and you have your ushers, and you have your children's ministry and your youth ministry. And I mean, just a lot that has to happen. You have someone that has to clean this church and so on. What it's called is serving. And I want us to just understand, what does it mean to serve? Or this, how do we cultivate a heart of service? Because before we can exhort you to serve in a church, and if I titled this message for whoever does that in the back, the message would be the heart of serving. Now, I know there's a lot of people watching live as well. And it's a wonderful thing, but and I'm so honored that people do watch from all over the country. But there's something about us being here at the local church and then having this heart to not want to just receive, but man, want to give out. And there's a lot of needs in a church that most people don't even know about. There's people that join and man, they want to serve, but they don't know where to serve in a church. But again, before we exhort someone to serve, I think we all need to understand why we should serve in a church. Now, understand that At this church, it gets very confusing a lot of times because, as most of you know, me being the senior pastor, I leave a lot. I mean, just next week, I preach at a big service in Fort Worth. And then I'm back here for Sunday. And then the next Sunday after that, I head to Casper, Wyoming. And we minister for 1 week at the college national finals. And I put up a tent that they have an opportunity to either go to the bar after the rodeo or come to the tent. And thank God, hundreds come to that tent. And so, yes, I leave. And sometimes it gives people an opportunity to take a vacation with me and not really stay committed to this church. And I want to employ you not to do that. I want you to understand that God wants you to continue to get fed here, even if I'm out there ministering, or, you know, even a sabbatical of rest. There's something about you understand, though, that there's something about serving in a church. And here, again, we need to understand that there's four reasons that I believe we all should serve. Now, before we get into that, I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, if you have your Bible. And begin to say amen when you get there. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Say oh me if you're still looking. I'm waiting. Oh my. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, the Bible in the King James says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, we all know the saints are us. If you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, then it's talking about you. If you're not born again, you need to be today. Say amen to that. Amen. You need to give your life to Jesus. What's stopping you? I mean, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the God Almighty. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that took your sin, where now when you say, forgive me, Lord, he throws that sin into a sea of forgetfulness. Matter of fact, he remembers the sin no more as far as the east is to the west. So why wouldn't you give your life to him? All right, so we talked about all five of these, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So all of us need to understand that we have something to do in the kingdom of God. If nothing else, just edifying one another. Instead of putting people down when you might see them doing wrong, why don't you build them up? Why don't you say, hey, you can do it? You're more than a conqueror through Christ because he loves you, brother. Come on, sister, come on, you can do it. Instead of making people feel condemned and guilty, man, we are to be lifting up. And that's my job as a pastor, and these other men and women of God that minister here, is we need to edify the body of Christ until we come in to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. So I understand my job. But I want you to understand that if you're saved, it's time to start serving. Now, we all won't serve in the same capacity. I'm not saying you're going to serve up here behind the pulpit, but you might if that's a call in your life. Now, you notice that the Bible says some are called. I'm not saying everybody is supposed to come and minister, but if there's a calling in your life where, man, you love to study the Word of God and you love to present the Word of God to people, man, that might be your calling in some different office, like the apostle or the prophet, or, you know, even teaching the Word of God is important. Maybe it's going out there and evangelizing. I remember meeting Howdy when he first started coming here, and I remember he had these tracks. He had it on his heart to go like to Walmart or to a store and give people a track and money. Because they're used to people trying to get money from them. And here is Howdy saying, hey, man, I just want to bless you. I just want to tell you that God loves you. That's it. Here's $20. And you know people. Oh, wow. I've never seen that before. Well, that's a perfect opportunity for then Howdy to say, hey, I just wanted to tell you that Jesus loves you. You see, he's serving in some way in that office, you see. I want to present to you four reasons why we all should serve in some way in this church or elsewhere. Number one, all of us need to understand that we all have at least one spiritual gift. I want you to turn to 1 Peter, and I want us to read 1 Peter. I want us to read, go chapter 4. Now again, if you're confused this morning, what are we talking about? We're talking about serving. You are not called just to be a fat sheep. I'm not talking about weight. You are not called to be a fat sheep, because I know sheep and goats. I was raised on the ranch in Ira Ann, Texas, Sheffield, McCamey, and all that area. And anytime there was a big old fat sheep, man, they would get stuck in a mesquite, and you would literally have to get off your horse and jerk them. I mean, they'd give up. They just couldn't, with that wool before they sheared, they couldn't get moving. It's the same with you and I. Man, we're not supposed to just receive, and not give out. No, I want to be a blessing to someone, especially if we're walking by them and we, you know, the Lord prompts us, why don't you begin to edify them? Hey, how are you today, brother? I mean, how about a simple hello? Man, God bless you today. Because see, that might be the one thing that one person might need is, hey, just wanted to tell you you're a winner and not a loser. And then all of a sudden, he'll look at his wife, have you told him something about me? Or vice versa. I'll do a message and there'll be people go, hey, did my wife talk to you? I said, I promise, no. You know. The thing is, man, there's something about serving in the kingdom of God, but there's also something about serving right here in this church. And so many times I believe we don't understand that all of us have a spiritual gift. Let's read about that real fast. In 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as a good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praised and dominion forever and ever. And then they say something you don't see a lot in the Bible, amen, which literally means so be it. That's a stamp. This is you have a gift, praise God. And I understand that there's two different. There's a public service, which is preaching and teaching and giving. But then there's that practical ministry, serving and giving and you know, even mercy. There's a gift that people have that, you know, those people that are peacemakers, quit fighting. Kids, Come on. You know, you'll always have one that is the peacemaker of the family, and you'll have one probably that's the troublemaker. And I don't know which part you are, but I don't know, but I have a lot of mercy. Now, Jamie, on the other hand, wants to kill him. It's amazing how different services we all have. Now, she's full of mercy. Trust me, she's married to me. She's like, gotta have mercy married to you, brother. But I'm here to tell you, all of us should understand that we have a spiritual gift. All of us. Now, the devil will then say, well, yeah, but I just don't know the word of God. I don't know how to pray. Well, that's why we're at church. That's why we can get this word of God out and say, Spirit of God, I don't understand the these thous and thuses. I don't understand what that means. And then all of a sudden, God had just begin to reveal what Scripture means a lot of times. And then when you come to a church that preaches the Bible, then you'll just get confirmation. Oh, that's what that means. There may be some correction. We may need to be corrected on the Word of God, but one thing we need to realize is that all of us are called to minister some way, somehow, in this church, and not just receiving all the time. Here's the second thing I want you to see is a reason why we should serve in the local church and out there is the reason I leave. I know I minister and I get to rope and it's a passion of mine and those kind of things. And I think it gives me some credibility. I mean, I'm constantly seeking God on how to be more effective in ministry, even out there one-on-one with one of those cowboys that are saying to me, hey, I need to talk to you with no one looking, you know. And I understand that because it might have been me way back when that just needed to talk to someone without everybody knowing it. I want to be more effective. So there might be different ways of serving in the kingdom of God, but here's something to think about. Number two, that we are responsible before the Lord to obey all the, in quotes, one another's, the commands in the Bible. Because, look, you can't really do the commands outside of the local church a lot of times. And let me tell you what I mean. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're responsible before the Lord to obey all the one another's, these commands in the Bible. Let me tell you what that is. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. In the Amplified, I like what it says because it says, and let us consider and give attention, continuous care to watching over one another. Study how we may stir up and stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. There's something about the one another's. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, if you're just writing notes, just write 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. The Bible tells us to build up one another. The one another, see. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says we're to pray for one another. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 50, it says be at peace with one another. Mark chapter 9 verse 50. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible tells us to be devoted to one another. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12 that says we're to greet one another. Not, you know, just bypassing them on the way out of church. I'm talking about, hey, brother, God bless you today. Man, you look good. Come on, you're the head and not the tail. Come on, you're above and not beneath that situation. I know the devil's trying to attack you, but hey, you're above it. Come on, you can do it. Get up. Stop being down. Get your head up. Get your shoulders back. I mean, get on those crutches and do it with integrity. You know. Anyway, I'm just trying to think of something. There's something about, you know, greeting one another. Because, see, that is a calling for all of us. That's why I love the ushers. And, man, there's something about being an usher at this church. You don't have to be a man. Anybody can be an usher, but there's something about greeting people and making people feel welcome to come to an assembly like this. Because I know some that, if they don't know you, you're not in the clique. It's not too welcoming. I rebuke that in Jesus' name at this church. I want people to feel welcome. I don't want cliques. I understand that we like people better than others. That's okay. But I tell you something, we're going to start at this church that we used to do a few years ago. We called it Suppers 8. We're going to start that back at this church. It's where certain people in the church want to host a Suppers 8, where we just have a meal with 8 or 10 people. And those 8 or 10, once a month, come to this host's house and they just fellowship. They get to know one another. You see, there's something about getting to know people. And I realize that at Cowboy Church, it's so different. Because people come to this church from miles around. How far do you drive? 55 miles one way, right? Does anybody drive further than that here to come to church? How far?
San Diego.
That's pretty far, man. Glory be to God. You know, I hope you got a jet. A fast one, but honor to have you from San Diego. Amen. I love California. I used to go to California every year for 10 or how long? Over Easter. And we would do what they called a church roping, where you had to go to church to rope for free. And they would give buckles and saddles and money. Well, how many of you know people going to go rope for free? They'll go to church. I can stand going to church for an hour. And lightning never did strike. It's amazing. But many people gave their lives to Jesus in California. And I'm sure she can testify, we all need Jesus, especially California. We know. We just... matter of fact, how many of you have moved from California to here? Look at all of them, y'all. Well, let me just, since there's so many of you crazy people, you left California for a reason, right? So let's not bring California here. Now, but what we need to do is pray for the spirit of revival to hit California, and people need to stay. And just keep serving in the kingdom of God. See. Amen. Number three. Here's the third reason why we should serve and we need help. You store up yourself. You store up for yourself. Let me say it again. You store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Look at Matthew real fast, and let me look at my big clock back there. Yeah, I'm good. 25 minutes. Dallas Cowboys not playing. It's not a big deal. Matthew, look at Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at verse 19. Look at Jesus. He says, laid not. Underline that word not. Laid not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break in, though, and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, your heart is also. Here's the thing. The point of this scripture is to not allow ourselves to get selfish. And again, that's why I say, you know, we can come to church. I know we need major help in the kids ministry. I mean, it just a lot of times Angela doesn't have help She, matter of fact, there's times when she hadn't been in the church service to receive the word of God in months and months and months. Because a lot of times, us parents, we just want to kind of take a breather from those old kids. But you know what? If we had more people understand serving the Lord, and you don't have to know the word of God. It's we have a curriculum. I mean, it's very simple. There sometimes just needs to be some order in there. But having people go in to the kids' church with that heart of, you know what, I want to just teach them, if it's whatever it might be, to teach them the word of God. Maybe help in some way. Man, that is a very specific need. But a lot of times I want to get fed. I don't want to miss anything. Well, I'm here to tell you, serving in your church in whatever capacity, man, I'm telling you, it'll bring treasures in heaven. It'll be a blessing. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, all of you know the kingdom of God, when you study it out, is just a method on how God operates here. The kingdom of God, His kingdom, is here on earth like it is in heaven. The kingdom here is a method and a way of living. I mean, we live by the peace of God. We're led by His Spirit. I mean, we walk in love. I mean, living by the kingdom of God is living by this word of God. Now, it's not necessarily talking about, seeking, kingdom things, and then we get confused on what kingdom things are, like, a new truck. I mean, those are good things. But how many of you know we need to seek His ways of doing things here? And then, if you finish off that scripture, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all the things will be added unto you. I mean, you'll have the peace of God. You'll have the needs met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's something about storing up that treasure in heaven, though, man. I mean, when I get to heaven, I want God to say, well done, son. Well, no, in our minds, we're going to think about all the things we did wrong. I mean, that's where my mind tries to go. The devil tries to bring up all the things I did back in college. We need to forget about that, man. It was bad. The party was at my house. I mean, my son Seth Ross is a very fun kid. And I'm really praying, interceding, have all the deacons and elders anoint the kid with oil that he won't do some of the things I did. But how many of you know I don't live in the past? I move forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. There's a time when we got to forget those things that are behind us and understand that God has forgiven me of my college days, thank God. He's full of mercy, and matter of fact, the Bible says His mercy is new every single morning. And I don't know about you, but I need that in my life. I'm not going to live by what I did back when or what I even made a mistake of yesterday, possibly. No, I want to follow and seek the kingdom of God, you see, and His righteousness. So we need to understand that when you serve in some way at this church, and I hope all of you will start understanding, I need to do something here. Not just praying for the service out there, but man, there may be something, especially when Pastor Corey leaves, that we need to make sure people stay in these seats and this church runs the way God instructed us to set it up to run, even with Pastor Corey leaving. I'm not going for long. I'll come back. And I can promise you, I'm believing for some things. Because if I had some faster transportation, I would be back a whole lot more than a commercial flight could get me here. We usually can't get you here. And so, but praise God that that'll come. All right, so the third thing, so store up yourself treasures in heaven. Here's the last thing and I'll quit. The fourth reason why we all should serve in this church or even out there is we need to think of our local church as a priority in life. Let me say it again. We need to think of our local church being a priority in our life. Galatians, real fast, chapter 6. Let me read verse 10. The Bible says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." In other words, we're all on the same team. It's hard on me. We start dealing with city council, and we start dealing with the fire marshal, and we start dealing with other churches in our community. How many of you know, if you're born again and Jesus is your Lord, we're on the same team. That's why here at Cowboy Church, you'll have one of every kind of denomination, because that's what we're about. We're not a Baptist Cowboy Church. We are not a Pentecostal Cowboy Church. We're everything. We're a word of faith. We're the word of God. We may be non-denominational. I'm okay with that. We're definitely spirit-filled. I want to just preach this Bible. I want to know that this Bible is for us and not against us. Amen. But I'm not too good about competition. I mean, it broke my heart when the Methodist Church had a fire. I didn't like that. Because we're on the same team. But I'm telling you, that spirit of division and competition in the town of Liberty Hill is not good. And all of us as believers, we need to break that. Because listen, we are all on the same team if Jesus is the Lord of our life. Now, we may preach different. We may do things a little bit different. But I'm here to tell you, the foundation has to be Jesus. And at this church, it's going to be. So we need to think of our local church, the one that God's planted you in. If He hadn't planted you here, you need to go and find where God has planted you. I'm not saying we're perfect. We're trying to be. But I'm here to tell you, where you plant is where you grow. And if you're not planted here, you're not going to grow. So we got to start finding a place to plant. Not try to visit a different church all the time. No, that's not what forsaking the assembly means. It means to come in here, get somewhere where, man, you see the word of God preached. You see fruit. You see people giving their lives to Jesus. Any church where you don't see that it might be a little dead. Maybe you're there to liven it up. I don't know. But at this church, you're going to see people saved. You're going to see people healed. You're going to see people delivered and set free to the glory of God in Jesus' name. It's going to take us all to do it, though. It's going to take us all serving. Yeah, but I don't have many friends here. Well, then make them. Because where you're planted is where you grow. I've never understood, yeah, you know, I'm going to go. I got a new job opportunity in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm going to make more money. Well, my first thing is, yeah, but where are you going to go to church? Because I would be moving to Pittsburgh for the church and not for the job. Because I'm going to seek the kingdom of God first. And then the job will come. And it'll be a better job than you think. You see, we just got to get our thinking changing, y'all. I moved here. We didn't know where we were supposed to go. We tried houses in Marble Falls and didn't like them. If we liked them, there was things around them that we didn't like. Until we got to Liberty Hill, and they sent us over to High River Ranch. It's a little subdivision, just not 5 miles around. As the bird or the crow flies, it's probably a mile or so. And there was a house. And Jamie walked in it, and she said, "I love it." Right? Those were the words she said. I don't know if her sister's here. Jim and Celie and Hurtfoot. Jim, Celie, and Letty. I want to honor y'all. Y'all stand up, wave at everybody. Y'all give them a round. Hi, you know, whatever. I bet she heard, because they talk every day, "I love it." When I heard "I love it," I knew that's where we were moving. But we were moving here because of the church. We knew God was going to plant a church in this town. We didn't know exactly where. We were still being led by the Spirit of God, but we knew it was around here somewhere. And then, bam, We just happened to know that some friends who had went to a camp meeting that I did in Fort Davis, Texas, lived right down the road, not even a mile from right here. You see, there's something about getting to a church and then making it a priority. I want to be here. I want to serve in it. I want to help it grow. We got a pretty big building here, right? 10,000 square foot. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot more room for chairs. And I know some people have, yeah, but I just want to go to a small church. Well, wait a minute. I mean, why don't we have this heart of wanting to see people born again and continue to reproduce? Because I know a lot of churches that I'm dealing with and their pastors that all of them, they didn't reproduce. And they're all old. That was funny, kind of. You must know one of those churches, San Diego. But what happens when you have an old church? They all die. And if you don't have reproduction, then that's why that church is going under. And there's hundreds going under every single week in America. Well, see, we don't want that. We want to continue to reproduce. We want to be on the same team. We want to have a church where it's a priority to be at, to attend, and then to serve. I want to just employ you that I know there's a lot of groups outside this church as well that you can plug into, but there's something about being and having a priority into this church that you're committed to. And I know, again, I'll just say it again, I know that it gets confusing when your pastor leaves to evangelize out there or to do whatever. But this church was set up the way it was set up so that when I leave, it stays and maintains the same vision that God gave Jamie and gave me so many years ago, to see people saved, to see people healed, delivered, and set free to God's glory. So I say, man, stay hooked. I know if we've hurt you, please forgive us. If we hadn't done things perfectly in every area, I apologize. If someone sat in your seat, Betsy said, make them get up. Serving your church should be a joy. It should be a privilege. I told this band, I thanked them earlier. I said, man, I'm so honored that y'all get up here. We start practicing at 8:45. We do. This band is so good, we don't have hours of practice. I mean, they know their stuff. And I thanked them for their service, because they get up early. They come here to get ready to lead all of you into praise and worship. You see, there's something about serving, and we're needing that as I'm trying to stay ahead of the growth. How many of you know that Liberty Hill, I mean, they're moving all the way out where we live at Oatmeal and Bertram, and I mean, they are coming. They are buying these ranches up. 15,000 homes are already plotted to build here. They gave me, I don't remember who it was, the mayor or someone called me and said that that Liberty Hill, they say in a short few years, is going to be the fastest growing small town in America. Right here. It's all moving here. But I'm telling you, we need help at this church. The biggest need we have is in our kids' church, because we just don't have enough help. And it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, or if you don't like kids, something is wrong with you. I just don't like kids, though. That we did have some people one time say that. I just don't like kids. Well, wait a minute. Someone liked you. You were a kid one day. I mean, yeah, you don't have to go to Bible school to help with the children's church or the youth group or help with ushering or cleaning up this place. I'm just saying, we need to have a servant's heart. There's people that are just, I mean, I could go through some scripture here, and I just, for lack of time, I won't. But man, there's people that have different giftings. And some of them are giftings that, man, God just blesses them to give financially. And you know those people, and it needs to be all of us praying, I want that to be me. Because those are the ones that God can trust. When he says, hey, I need you to help that family. I need you to help with this church building. I need you to go out there. There's the Methodist church that's hurting right now because 60 kids don't have a place to meet and finish up school. Well, they do now because they just had 1 week left, thank God. But there was about 50 of them in the Sunrise preschool or whatever it is that just didn't have anywhere to meet. That's the part that burnt down. Well, my heart of serving is I want to go help them. I want to be a blessing. So here's the last question. What's your gifting? Where could you best just be a part in this church? Where would you fit in? Well, you'll be surprised that if you just say, hey, I'll go anywhere, that's where the blessing will be. It doesn't matter how old someone is or how young they are, how much knowledge you have of the Word of God, I'm just saying all of us have a priority to serve in the kingdom of God. It cannot be about self. It has to be, you know what, I want to be a blessing to others. And if you do that, that's when 6:33 comes in of Luke's gospel. When you give, it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll cause men to give back to you with the same measure, the same attitude, the same seed that you give, that will be given back to you the same way. That's why I try to counsel people that are going through tough times and they need to communicate. I say, make sure you do it out of love. Don't do it out of anger, because that's how it's going to be received. No, let's do it out of love. And then it'll be received out of love. What is your gifting? Now, I know some of you don't live here. Obviously, you live in San Diego, but there ought to be something about serving in your local church. Being a blessing. Not just about self. I mean, I learned in business, if you help someone else make money, you'll make a lot. Especially if it's your business. If you're an employer here, it's always best to be a good employer to your employee. Because they'll work harder for you. If you're just a blessing to them. But if you're mean, hateful, dogmatic, don't ever allow them to grow, that's the way they're going to treat you back. But man, when we are a blessing, ooh, Jesus, God can bless us. Amen? All right, did you have a good time this morning? I hope and pray that you received it. In Jesus' name, with the heart that I wanted to give it to you, where can you serve? As I start this little traveling season, I want you to continue to come. All my pastor friends says, you know, in the summer, brother, that's when all the attendance goes down and the offerings go down to help run your church. Well, for 15 years, I've rebuked that in Jesus' name, and it has never happened. I don't receive that. Matter of fact, in the summer, our church increases in both of those areas. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We're going to do some baby dedications here in just a second, but give me just a second here. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Come here, Skip. Hang on just a second. Come here. Just put your purse down. Ease up here just for a second. Stand right by him. Come up here. I'm right here. Stay right here. I've been seeing these people all service. Come here. I need you to come up here with me. Come on, bring your hat with you. Amen. Come up here with me. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's been talking to me about you four during this service, because we as a group are going to pray for some restoration in different areas of your life. We don't know about them personally, but you do. And the Spirit of God wanted me to tell you and you and you and you that you still are able to operate on a long, satisfied life. And you don't have to leave this earth until it's time to leave it. That you still have a lot of work to be done. And people need you to stick around for a little bit longer. Okay? You going to hang out, aren't you?
Not making a load today.
Not making a load today. Thank God, no. So I want y'all to stretch your hands towards these four. Amen? And by faith, you're going to stand strong.
Yes, sir. Fight the good fight.
You're going to fight the good fight. I agree. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for every one of these three men and this one precious woman of God. And Father, now wait a minute. Hang on. Now you said, let your will be done. Okay, do you know what God's will is?
No.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you what the Bible says. His will is that you live a long and satisfied life.
Amen.
And that you have the power in your tongue over life and over death.
And over Satan.
Definitely over Satan. Amen.
Amen.
So his will for you is to be healthy, whole, nothing missing and nothing broken. In
Amen.
Jesus' name, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's what God's will is. Not just speaking, God, whatever your will is. No, you got to know God's will. And God's will is that you're healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. You agree?
I received that, yeah.
God's will is that you are whole from the top to the bottom of your feet. You are lined up with the Word of God and your body operates correctly in Jesus' name. And that you live a long, satisfied life with that woman right there. And that's your kid right there, right?
Right.
Have you whooped her in a long time? She don't need it anymore, does she?
No, she doesn't.
So, to God be the glory. Pardon me? 86 years old. That's young. Right? Hey, y'all got to understand, this is a crazy Cajun. And I love it. Because God loves you. Amen?
Amen?
And God loves you. And He loves you. And He loves you in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. I want all of you, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now. We're all going to pray a prayer. I'm talking about you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you left this earth. I want you to go to heaven. And I want you to go there as well. But here's the only way. This is John chapter 14. There's only one way to the Father in heaven. It's through Jesus. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. Not some preacher, not some church, not some denomination. Jesus. Amen. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, He needs to be right now. And we're all going to pray that. All of the believers in here, I want you to pray this prayer. And you know why we all pray it. Is number one, you'll pray it with someone sitting around you maybe. We'll just pray it with them. But number two is you need to learn the spirit of this prayer. If you learn this prayer, you'll be able to lead people to Jesus that would not come to this church service. So let's give our lives to Jesus if we haven't. And if we have, let's pray it with someone right now. You ready? Out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. And I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. I make you mine. I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. I give you my life right now in Jesus' name. Forgive me of all my sins. You are now my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, you never had before. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you walk to the front, but what I want you to do with boldness is when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, I just prayed and asked Jesus to come into my life this morning. Thank you, God, for saving me. If that was you, I want you to get that hand up and then just put it right back down when I say three. You ready? You ready? Ready? One, with every bit of boldness in Jesus' name. You just gave your life to Jesus. Get that hand up when I say three. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Anybody else? Get that hand up. Don't be ashamed. Thank you, Lord. All right. Amen. Look at me. Thank God. I don't care if it's one. I'm telling you. If you raise your hand, you're my brother in Christ. If you're a sister, we're in this family of God, right? So we need to start treating each other like family. Amen. To treat each other like family real fast is we're going to dedicate just a few babies. So I don't know who that's going to be. If you got a baby here, come on up. I know, Rose. Okay, come on, babies. Any other babies coming? There's one coming. Okay, bring her up. This has been at my house for quite a few times already. She sleeps all the time. Amen. Good baby. Come on up. Is this all the babies? There's some coming? Okay. We'll wait on them. Hey, thank y'all for just being patient. I want to pray over all these little ones. And what we believe here at Cowboy Church, some people, they baptize babies into the faith. We believe that we're to dedicate them to the Lord and His service, that when they get to the age where they understand to give Jesus their Lord, or their lives, that they will do that. But it's important that we dedicate them, amen, and pray over them. And so let's do that, amen. Thank you. Got three of them. Emma, oh yeah. All right, y'all come down here. I want to see him. Where's Strand? Is that Strand down there? That's a big old boy. How about that? Leah, I've seen this one. Emma, look at that. I love it when these things make an indention in their head. What a boy. As we said, we want to dedicate these kids to the Lord. And the scripture that I love is found in Isaiah 54 and 17. It says that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Amen. That everyone that comes in judgment against them, God said, I'll condemn it. I got your back, in other words. And so I want to pray over these kids. But how many and if there's grandmas and grandpas that want to come up, Maria, I don't know, anybody's allowed to come and just be a part. Because how many There's going to be times when these kids are away from y'all, and they might be around us, and we need to help each other raise them. Amen. There might be a time when I say, hey, don't be doing that, boy. Because trust me, they do it to my kids right now. I mean, there may be times that I don't even know that, hey. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you a quick story. A guy came to me, actually two guys, and says, hey, don't tell him I told you. Talking about Seth. But he said there was a big kid, and this big kid was trying to wrestle him. And he said, all of a sudden, Seth comes around and pops him in the ear. I'm like, and he said, the kid was huge. Seth could have died that day. But he was trying to protect himself. So that gave me an opportunity to talk to him. I said, hey, brother, you're a little guy. You could get hurt very badly. You do not want to be a fighter. I mean, well, I would have never known that happened had not someone said. And so there might be times when we may help as the church. We're all in the family of God, right? Amen. We may have to help raise some children. Amen. But let's do it in the ways of the Lord, that when they get old, they won't depart from this faith. Amen. Y'all stretch your hands towards these precious kids. Father, I just pray over Strand and his family. I thank you, Father, that Strand, we dedicate him to you, sir, to your service. We thank you, Lord, that mom and dad have the wisdom to train this child up in the ways of you. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for wisdom, that he would be healthy all the days of his life, and he would be a blessing in the kingdom of God. I thank you, Father, for Emma. I thank you, Father, for this family that means a lot to my family. I thank you, Lord, that we dedicate her to you, sir. I thank you, Lord, that she is blessed and honored, healthy, happy, sleeps all night long. Say amen to that. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for her mom and dad, grandma's and grandpa's family members that will help raise this child as well as us. And we just thank you, Lord, that she is dedicated to your service in Jesus' name. And Father, thank you for Leah. I just thank you, Lord, that this precious baby girl is dedicated to you, sir. And Father, again, when she gets to that age where she understands how to receive you, that she would do it, and she would do it when she's at the first available time. And Father, we dedicate her to you, that she is healthy, she is happy, she is a blessing of God. And Father, I pray over her family, that they train her up in the right way, in the ways of you, sir. And we dedicate all these to your service in Jesus' mighty name. Now y'all stand up. Everybody stand up. I don't really have any announcements. It's a blessing to be able to, I don't know if anybody...